I want to remind you again of next week, Mother's Day. Of course, as I said earlier, regular schedule in the morning, no evening services or activities or youth small groups in the evening. But also, remember, next Sunday morning, we will be starting our study, our summer study. Typically in the summer, we reflect back on and learn from one of the great heroes of our faith, especially from the Old Testament. As in past years, we have learned from Noah and Joseph and Gideon and David and Hannah and so many others in Scripture. Samuel. This summer, we will be spending our time with Moses in a study called Born for a Purpose. Moses' whole life is wrapped up in what his purpose is, what God wants him to do, who God wants him to be, and how God would use him to do that in his life and bring that about. Well, this morning, we conclude our message series that we've been in the last 4 weeks, and today we wrap up the series, Five Myths That Make Marriage Miserable. Five Myths That Make Marriage Miserable. Hoping we have gleaned from God's Word some practical application, not only to help us in our marriages, but in our relationships overall. Now, wherever you are on the continuum of never married, now married, once married, whatever, wherever you are along the way, marriage is such a fluid thing in our relationships with people, but you'll find the applications from this series relating to marriage particularly, but generally to all relationships. And I think you'll find that this morning as well, as we wrap up this series with an installment called The Myth of Respected Boundaries. The Myth of Respected Boundaries. Meaning, as we apply it to marriage, that we find out as married people that it is a fiction, that there are clear and distinct boundaries in our marriage that other people would not intrude upon. Because the fact of the matter is, there are a lot of people who often, throughout the years of your marriage, will try to intrude upon your marriage in a variety of ways. Now, I want to pause right here and say this is a complex and multifaceted idea of boundaries. You and I need to learn boundaries in our own lives, what we permit people to do in our lives and the access we give them. We need to learn personal boundaries. We need to learn boundaries in other relationships. It's so multifaceted and complex, we can't possibly zero in on everything this morning. So I want to pause and recommend to you a series of books by two Christian psychologists, John Townsend and Henry Cloud. And the series is easy to find because it's called Boundaries. And they apply it to various areas of relationships. So good Christian authors, good Christian advice in a series called Boundaries. Especially if you come out of this message this morning going, wow, I need some more on this, then go look up those books and get those. But in marriage, in particular, we need to create and cultivate healthy boundaries. And God, as we'll see, God intends for us to have boundaries in marriage. Particularly with our families. And this is what we're going to zero in on and focus on mostly this morning. Of all the ways we could apply it, we want to consider how our families relate to us in marriage. Because the old saying is true, you don't just marry a person, you marry the family. You get the whole package. And many of us go into marriage, especially as young couples, under the idea that we will never be imposed upon or intruded upon by our families. Wouldn't that be nice? But the truth is, in the long-term relationship you have in marriage, you will have all kinds of interactions with family members, some of whom will seek to breach the boundaries and even interfere in your relationships. When we started this series, I said that all five of these myths fall under the umbrella of one overarching, one big myth that we need to make sure we have in front of us, and that is that because we are believers in Christ, and I hope that you're blessed in your marriage to be married to a believer, if you're two believers in a Christian marriage, you may have entered that marriage under the umbrella of the myth that because we're Christians, we'll never have problems, we'll never have interference, we'll never have issues. But the truth is, we're also people, and we need God's help in that. The fact of the matter is we will have issues and problems, but we have the problem solver living in the marriage with us. We have God helping us in our marriage. That's what it means to be believers. So we have drawn from God's word principles and applications to help us overcome these myths, to see them clearly and help us overcome those. And we're going to do the same thing this morning as we consider the myth of respected boundaries, the idea that people by nature, especially in our families and in our friendships, will respect and never intrude upon that marriage relationship. I should pause and say that, you know, most of the time people that intrude upon marriage relationships fall into one of two categories, most of the time. One is those with malicious intent. That is, they are coveting your spouse. Or they're trying to wreck something else in your marriage, and they're trying to breach a boundary, maybe influence your child in a negative way. They're trying to breach the boundary of the family or the marriage for malicious intent. And those folks are more recognizable. Sometimes we're slow to deal with those folks, but they are more recognizable. It's the other category we need to pay the most attention to, and which we're going to focus on this morning, and that is the folks with good intentions, particularly family members, who believe they know what's best for you, for your spouse, for your marriage. And age has no limit on this. From the newly married to the long-term relationships, 5 minutes, 55 years, you're going to have people that believe they know what's best for you, and they are going to try to breach those boundaries. Now, what do I mean by boundaries, and what do I mean by setting boundaries for your relationships and for your marriage? Let's be sure we have that clear in mind before we continue. By boundaries, we simply mean intentional limits to access you and to influence you. When you set boundaries, you set intentional limits to what access people have to you and your marriage, and what influence people may have on you and your marriage and your family. They are intentional limits, and they are completely biblical, as we'll come back to that in just a minute. So consider boundaries with me this morning. Now, do you have boundary problems? Let's open that up just a moment. You might have boundary issues in your marriage or in your relationship, and there's a few ways you can know how. Let's focus on the marriage just a moment. Do you have boundary issues in your marriage? You have boundary issues in your marriage if someone outside of your marriage wants undue time with your spouse or with you. Time that should go to your spouse or to your family. But your time is going somewhere else. It may not be a person, it may be work, it may be something else. But if there is a person drawing you or your spouse away, demanding time and attention that should go towards spouse, children, family, you've got a boundary problem. You don't agree on how you spend money, and there's someone outside the marriage who is dictating to your spouse or to you how you should spend the money. You've got a boundary problem. We could keep giving examples, but you get the idea. Boundaries are particularly important, and they will change, and over time you'll need to reconfigure, reestablish healthy boundaries throughout your marriage. This morning, in this series, we've had a lot of fun also hearing from couples who are in different seasons of marriage and have gone through different things related to the subject at hand. So we're going to close out this series hearing from one of our couples this morning and talking with them just a bit, Cindy and Gary Galloway. So y'all join me at the table this morning as we're going to talk about boundaries. Okay, I want to ask y'all the first two questions that I've asked every couple that's sat here with us. How long have you been married?
I know. I'll be 27 years on August 10th.
Good, good. And were you both Christians when you got married?
We actually were both Christians. You would not have known it from our lifestyle. You just wouldn't have. And one thing in particular was the day that we got, well, before we got married, we went to the premarital counseling when they talked to you and everything. And I told the pastor that was going to marry us, whom I didn't know because I didn't attend church, but I told him that I could do everything, but he needed to take obey out of our vows because I didn't think I'd be able to handle that one. And he said, well, you do know that's biblical. I said, yeah, but I'm going to tell you what I can do and what I can't do. So the day that we got married, I remember, and it was sincere. It was very sincere. but very fumbly. But I remember just crying out to God, and I said, Lord, I really want you to be a part of our marriage. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I really want you to. So.
Good, good. Anything to add to that?
And she's right. We were Christians, but we weren't living as we should. And it was a slow process to get God to take us where he wanted us to be. And a lot of that had to do with moving away from home. Is how he brought us back to him, and not having anybody where we were for 7 years and living apart from our families that drew us to him and to a church family, and we really grew in that 7 years.
Yeah. Now, that's an interesting place to enter in the conversation about boundaries. So moving away meant moving away from family for a while, correct? Did that physical distance help establish boundaries for communication, for so forth?
It did. At least we had 24-hour notice before my mom and dad came over. Even though we're 8 hours away, we at least had 24 hours. But no, it did help establish the family boundaries, because we were on our own, so we had to discuss everything. Really, it was just us two deciding our boundaries, and then the families would come visit, so it was easier to establish and withhold those boundaries. So.
Well, talk about that just a little bit, establishing okay. boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
To you, what that means, how that helps in your relationship and has helped through the years.
Okay, I'll give you an example of a challenging time in boundaries. Is we were away from home. I live in Varnum Town with Mark Varnum down there. He lives in there too. We moved home. We were away 7 years, and then the Lord called us home, opened up some doors. We wanted to be home, and the Lord led us home. Then we lived with my mom and dad for 13 months. It was 13 months. It wasn't a year and a half. But that was when we were really challenged. We had good boundaries in Tennessee when we lived there, but my boundaries at my mom and dad's house were a lot different than Cindy's boundaries at my mom and dad's house. I could lay on the couch all day and be happy at my mom and dad's house, but it was different for her, so I'll let her speak to that.
It actually was a very trying time when we had come back, because we were all alone up there, as Gary said, and not only did we come home, but we moved our two very small children home with us, and I just remember things like, well, Gary, we really need to look for a place to live. And, you know, the church basketball league, he'd say, well, baby, I got basketball tonight. And there wasn't a whole lot of privacy where you could have those, like, moments where you could kind of, you know, get them alone and talk to them. So it was tough. But also one of the things is we grew up very much the same in that our homes were just very traditional, but very much different in that my dad was military, a lot of his family was military, so, I mean, you almost have to make an appointment, you know, I mean, not really, but it was very different than his family, which was a lot like maybe the movie, like, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, you know, where, like, everybody's just sort of intertwined, you know, and so it presented, you know, challenges, but I will say that because they're, like, physically so close, like, but like before we got married, we spent a lot of time getting to know them, and the relationship was good. So when those boundary issues did come up, you know, even sometimes in trying to handle them, you may not handle them correctly, but you love the people you're dealing with, so that
good.
That helped.
Yeah, yeah. Have there been any other examples now, without breaching confidences, or because I know it's kind of a sensitive issue, really? But have there been other examples through the years where you had to adjust boundaries or make some changes in marriage because there were issues you had to deal with? I'm being kind of general there.
Yeah, so. I understand. A lot of it had to do with my family, to be honest with you. So nobody records this if my mom and dad are watching. But
suddenly the podcast cuts out.
That's true. Thank you. A lot of the issues we had to deal with, because my family, let's be honest, they know no boundaries. They pop over anytime they want. They come by any time, morning, night, it doesn't matter. They come by any time. So a lot of the times we had boundary issues were with my family, and especially with the children, on things they could watch, not watch, things that were appropriate for them to talk about. And we usually found out about it from the kids. They would tell us, you know, what happened to grandmas and grandpas. And we're like, ooh, we're not sure about that. And Cindy, she and I would have to discuss it, and typically she would want me to be the first to address it with my parents, which was appropriate. We would get aligned on what we thought were the issues and how we want our kids to be, what they would be exposed to when they're at their house, and things we wanted to control. And we would sit down, and I would typically go and talk to my mom and dad about it. And And they were usually pretty perceptive, I mean, pretty receptive to it, but they didn't always obey him, but they were receptive.
Good, thank you. Anything else y'all would add? Anything else?
Just add, one of the boundaries that we didn't talk about was boundaries with friends, but we were fortunate in the fact that I moved away from my friends. I think if I'd have stayed here for the first 7 years, the things, the draw, my friends, the environment we were in would not have been as conducive to us becoming the family, the godly family God wants us to be because of being close to my friends. But I think moving away that 7 years, sometimes moving away is a blessing. And I think for us, it was a blessing for that first 7 years of our marriage.
Anything you want to add?
Well, just that now, you know, this is about marital boundaries, but also, you know, now we have children that are adults. And so now we're on the other end of that. And so I'm sure there'll be more challenges, more things we'll have to learn.
I think Kevin is a little concerned with
the delatching
of Casey from her mother. So what, any advice you could give Kevin, if you've struggled with that, he would be loved to have it.
Thank you all so much. Can I pray for you?
Yes,
all right. Heavenly Father, I do thank you, God, for Gary and Cindy, for their marriage, the blessing that it's been to so many others. Thank you for their girls and how you've grown them up. And we pray, God, for them as a family and for Gary and Cindy and their marriage and the years ahead. God, I pray you'd bless them with grace, wisdom, guidance as transitions happen in their family and in their lives. Help them all to grow closer rather than farther apart, and bless their home and their family with your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. With all this talk of a wedding and marriages, and of course we're having one. Most of you know my daughter's getting married in September, and we'll have to make a similar adjustment that Gary and Cindy were talking about there. Although I know they'll be happy to have me in their house all the time. But it reminded Kim, and Kim got out our wedding album, those wonderful pictures, our wedding album, and I was looking at those yesterday. 1985, we got married. And the pictures in that wedding album, you know what stood out for me? The first thing that came to mind, I had great hair. And I had big glasses. But you know what I saw in those pictures too? Just about everybody in 1985 that wore glasses had big glasses. I don't know what that was. It's like we were trying to find ourselves, find something, or we were concerned a satellite would fall and we wouldn't see it. We have big glasses. I guess it's more helpful to see than the little slits that we wear today most of the time. I just use that for an illustration. You know, I'm blessed, by the way, to have wonderful in-laws. I'm not saying that just because Kim's here. But I have wonderful in-laws who not only do not intrude, I never hear from them. Unless I ask, I never get advice. I should say I never hear from them. I hear from them. But unless, I don't get unsolicited advice and input. I have to ask. My father-in-law is a wonderful man. And over the years, I'll call him up and ask him questions about this or that. But he's never calling me and saying, hey, you need to change this. You need to do that. Did you take care of that? Just not that kind of situation. You may have boundary issues in your life and not even realize it. So I want to offer this morning is the time to put on the big glasses of Scripture. And take a look at your marriage and your other relationships and consider if there are boundary issues. And here's the thing, you might be the boundary problem. And if God starts showing you that, you need to own up to it and let God do a work in your life. God intends for us to establish boundaries in relationships, but definitely in marriage. So much so that the very definition of marriage in Scripture implies clear boundaries. Remember Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, where the Bible says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and bond with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Remember that when marriage started out in the ancient world, families lived very close together, often working together, cooking together, seeing each other all the time, every day, raising kids together, which in many cultures they still do. So this perspective of marriage was a clear definition that said when these two people come together, they go start their own family. Even though they're part of this family, they go over there somewhere, and that's their family. There is a physical boundary called their house that implies a spiritual and emotional and relational boundary called marriage. So the husband's going to build that house, and they're going to start their home. It doesn't mean they're not part of the family, but it means that they have their own lives and their own relationship. And God intends us to have those boundaries and respect them. This morning, I want us to consider some applications that will help us both identify if we have boundary issues, maybe we are boundary issues, but also help us keep boundaries in marriage. And these are general applications, so you'll have to take these, apply them to your marriage and your relationships, because as I said earlier, there are a variety of ways we can talk about boundaries. But focusing on marriage and family, let's consider these applications today as we remember that God intends us to have clear boundaries in our marriage and in our relationships as well. The first thing is for all of us to honor every marriage. Honor every marriage. Look at Hebrews in the New Testament. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. You may just want to mark that and look back at it later. But Hebrews 13 and verse 4. The writer of the Hebrews in the Bible says, marriage is to be honored by all. And then he goes on to say, in the marriage bed kept undefiled because God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterer. Now his application is adultery and immorality, but his principle is that marriage should be honored by all. If we are to honor individual marriages, we have to first honor marriage, the creation of God, the institution that he wove into our created order called marriage. If we're going to honor and respect individual unions, we have to honor the union, the institution itself. I believe this is where it breaks down to start with, that we don't have enough honor for what God created as marriage itself, that we would respect individual marriages and not intrude upon those marriages unnecessarily or unwisely or breach those boundaries if we're not supposed to. And we live in an age when marriage has been downgraded systematically, really for decades now. But marriage, the idea of it, the honor of it, has been downgraded so much. If we're not careful as believers, we will buy into that same thing. We live in a culture in which marriage really doesn't have the honor anymore that God intended it to have. On March 24th, a young lady named Karen Cooper got married. She got married in a park in Florida, Myers Park, Florida, an outside wedding. She wore her wedding dress. She had a ring bearer, which happened to be a dog, but she had a ring bearer. She had a nice cake. She had 50 people come to witness and participate in the wedding. And she had a groom. Karen Cooper married a 100-year-old ficus tree. She had a legal marriage outside to marry a tree. That's right. Now, the reason she did that was to prevent the tree from being cut down. Officials were going to destroy the tree. So in order to protect the tree, she married the tree as a protest against cutting down the tree. And she herself told the press that it was tongue-in-cheek, it was laughable, and it was meant to be trivial, but it was still meant to protect the tree. Maybe without even realizing it, she trivialized marriage itself. We are so flippant about it anymore, nobody really honors marriage in the first place. We should be, as believers, as such a mind, before we ever breach the boundaries of someone else's union, if with advice even, let alone with malicious intent, if we should ever even think about it, we should give pause to the fact that God is the one that created that institution. Not people. And if we intrude on that institution, if we intrude on that bond, on that one flesh union, we better be very sure that it's what God wants us to do. So first, honor every marriage because it's a marriage. Then second, right behind that, establish healthy boundaries. Establish healthy boundaries. Still with your Bible out, look in the New Testament at the book of Titus and chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, it's the Apostle Paul writing a young pastor named Titus. And he writes about relationships in the church and outside the church and how people interact. And we're going to draw a few principles from that to apply to marriages and boundaries. So Titus chapter 3, look at verse 8. Paul says, "This saying is trustworthy. I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed God might be careful to devote themselves to good works. These are good and profitable for everyone. But avoid foolish debates, genealogies, quarrels, disputes about the law, because they're unprofitable and worthless. Reject a divisive person after a first and second warning." Let's pause here and consider in this particular text from Paul how we can draw some principles about relationships and apply those to boundaries in our marriages. The first thing we learn is to focus on growth. Focus on the positive. Focus on growth. Inside your marriage, focus on how you can grow together and grow together in Christ. And if you're the person that has a tendency to breach the boundaries of someone else's union, this passage is telling you, you need to be looking at your own life. You need to be focusing on what God has given you to do and how he wants you to grow in your faith. Paul says, "Those who have believed God might be careful to devote themselves to good works." The term devote means be mostly concerned about, or focused and concerned about good works, doing good things. You can't be both focused on what God wants you to do in life and focused on someone else's life. This is a place that is important to distinguish between advice and meddling. Because it's easy for advice to become meddling. But there is a difference between those things. The wise individual, the wise parent, the wise relative or family member, the wise spouse prayerfully considers what advice to give, but understands that going too far with that advice becomes meddling into their relationship. In another place, Paul gives us an example of this difference. Just make a note of this and take a look at it later. But talking to another young pastor, Timothy, Paul writes in 1 Timothy 5:13, he says, "At the same time, they also learn to be idle." Now, he's talking about lazy church members, by the way. But he says, "Going from house to house, they're not only idle, wasting their time, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things that they should not say." The term busybodies is what we want to park on for just a moment. The term literally means a self-appointed overseer of someone else's issues and problems. A self-appointed overseer. That's what a meddler is. It's the person who becomes so obsessed with someone else's problems, someone else's marriage, someone else's situation, that they believe it becomes their responsibility to take charge of that. The antidote to that is to look at your own life. Paul says in Titus, God has given us all good things to do, healthy, good, profitable things to contribute to our lives as well as contribute to other people's lives. So ask yourself, if you're inclined toward advising other people, especially into that relationship, ask yourself, wait a minute, what do I need to be working on in my life, in my relationship? What does God want me to pay attention to in my life, and what does he want me to do? And the second thing to ask is, what am I contributing? What profitable thing am I contributing to that other person's life, that other person's marriage? Now, if it's your marriage on the other side, that also means you need to be focused on positive growth in your own marriage, praying together, growing in Christ, what contributes to your marriage. And if there's a person that's not contributing but they're harming your marriage, you need to recognize that. Fortify some boundaries there. So the first way to establish healthy boundaries is to focus on growth. Second, another way to establish healthy boundaries is avoid unnecessary arguments. Look at verse 9. Paul says, "Avoid foolish debates, genealogies, quarrels, disputes about the law." Now he's talking about religious matters. But then he says, because they are unprofitable and they are worthless. Unprofitable and worthless. Do you find yourself in your marriage arguing regularly about the same thing, especially someone's intrusion into your marriage? Do you ever find yourself arguing about how somebody else is advising you? The more we argue, the less we talk. And the more we talk, the less we argue. If we are a healthy couple and we're praying together and we're talking through things, no matter what advice is coming in from the outside, we're praying through that together. Rather than argue, we make decisions. And we might apply wise counsel, but we recognize unwise counsel because we have established boundaries. We're doing this together. Pay attention to unprofitable discussion in your marriage and in your relationships. It applies to any relationship. Pay attention to what is unprofitable discussion. If someone is causing conflict in your marriage, someone from the outside is causing conflict in your marriage, you have a boundary problem. Then third, recognize divisive people. Recognize divisive people. Look at verse 10. Paul says, reject a divisive person after the first and second warning. Reject a divisive person after the first and second warning. This does not give you permission necessarily to say to your in-laws, you may never come over here again. That's not what that's about. What this is saying is that there's a person, it may be your in-laws, it may be somebody else in your family, maybe somebody from work or outside, that's consistently causing division between you and your spouse, causing arguments, making it difficult for you to be on the same page in how you handle your life, your finances, your time, your children, whatever it is. The Bible teaches that in order for you to take charge of that relationship and establish healthy boundaries, first you need to recognize the habit, the pattern of this person is to be divisive in your relationship. Once you recognize that, have a loving, healthy conversation with them. My wife and I, my husband and I will work this out. Thank you very much. We're praying about it. We'll make the decision. If you have to do it, Paul says, once, and you have to do it twice, that's great. If you got to do it again, you're dealing with a divisive person because they don't really have your best interest at heart. They are harming your marriage or your relationship, and it's time to say, as the old put your foot down, as the old saying is, it's time to say, I recognize this. The term reject means something like take a stand on this. And it means that now it's time to lovingly and kindly say, we have heard you, thank you, we will make the decision. But we won't talk with you about it anymore. And you're sitting there thinking, you don't know my in-laws very well. You know, one of the reasons that people can push and divide and get in our relationships and get in our lives is because we let them. You don't need to be callous or cruel to someone to just say, thank you very much, we're going to handle this. And that's when you mean, I'm not talking anymore about this. Just not going to do it, not with you. I got a spouse, we're going to talk about it. Fortify your boundaries. Recognize people that are unhealthy for your relationship. Recognize people that you need to establish that boundary for. But also be willing to adjust at times. Some people are well-intentioned, they're loving, they mean no harm, but you have boundary issues that you need to take care of. Pray about that. Let God grow you in your relationships and in your marriage. You know, one of the best things that we can do to fortify boundaries in a marriage is to consistently remind ourselves and our spouse how much we enjoy that marriage, how much we love them, the privilege of being married. What a joy it is, the privilege of being married. Anybody around you and your spouse, when y'all are around one another in public, you don't have to be constantly hugging and constantly whispering. People should still have the sense of, wow, they love each other. They're together. They're a couple. There is no better boundary than simply loving one another and letting the world see it. Samantha Burns is a mental health counselor and a family counselor. Got married a few years ago. And when she got married, she told her husband, why in the world would I wear my wedding gown just one time? It's my favorite dress. I love that dress. So she said, every anniversary, no matter what we do, I'm going to wear my wedding dress. She did. Ladies, you're going to love this. And you're going to go home, you're going to pack your wedding dress, you're going to start doing this. Every anniversary, August 10th, she wears her wedding dress. She told her husband, doesn't matter what we're doing. As long as I'm able, I'm going to wear that wedding dress. First anniversary they had, they went out to eat, then they went to the driving range and hit golf balls. And there she is in her wedding dress, out there hitting golf balls and having great conversations with people and expressing her joy visibly at having married this man. Second anniversary, they went on a little dinner cruise on a Wednesday night. So there was hardly anybody on the boat. They had a little dinner cruise, and then they had a little dance force, and all this in her wedding dress. She said it was like having a mini wedding all over again. Far from trivializing and downgrading marriage, let's celebrate it. Let's enjoy it. Let's let the world see that we believe God brought us together for life. She is mine, I am hers. And everybody knows it. That's the world's best boundary that you can have. If you're married, now and then you have those folks that God love them, God bless them, might start breaching those boundaries. And you're feeling like, well, you know, it's getting to be a crowd in this relationship. Two's company, two's a partnership, three might be a crowd. Well, also remind yourself, you already have a third party in that relationship. Jesus is in that relationship with you. You need to talk to him first. You need to pray together. You need to go to his word. You need to listen to him. He's not breaching boundaries. He's the one that brought you together. He's the one that knows what's right to give you direction and to give you guidance. The couples that you heard in this series on the platform were just a few of all of us who are married couples. But we recognize right away in all of them what we recognize in us as well. We're not perfect. They weren't on the platform because they were perfect people in a perfect marriage. They're up there because they're people. And by the grace of God, by the grace of God, they have come together and they have weathered seasons together to honor and to glorify him. And you can do the same. You can do the same. In your marriage, in your other relationships, wherever you are in life, you can do the same thing. You can commit today to honor God and to glorify him in your life and in your relationships. Would you do that? Would you do that? Let's pray together, and I'm going to offer you an opportunity to respond to the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, we are together in this place as the people of God, and we recognize we are far from perfect, God. And we thank you, God, for being in our lives, for being our God, our Father, for being in our marriages, for being in our relationships, God. And Father, this morning I pray for each one who needs to make a fresh decision to follow Christ individually first. And then in that union, in that marriage, God, may we commit together to follow Jesus. Father, I pray for that one, maybe two or three here, that have never trusted Christ as their Savior. I pray today they give their lives to Christ, to experience what it means to have you in their lives, guiding them and growing them and helping them and forgiving them. And God, I pray for others of us in here, some who made professions of faith, God, but we've wandered away from you. I pray today would be the day we'd come home. We'd come home and find your arms open to receive us, to love us, to help us, to forgive us, God, and to move us forward in life where you want us to be. And I pray for our marriages and our relationships. God, may we commit all of those to you today, and may we see you at work in those relationships. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand.